Hey, greetings in the name of Jesus. Glad to be with you today. I want to invite our visitors, especially thankful for your presence and for caring enough about coming to visit us. We appreciate visitors. And today I want to share, hang on to this thing here, out of 2 Timothy. And look forward to sharing this passage with you. Those of you that have Facebook, you might have saw my note yesterday on our private group about what to expect today. And so I'll give you a heads up on that. This passage is a very rich passage, many things that could be spoken from. And one very common verse that is found in this passage is, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." And so this morning I heard, and thank you to Elam and Joseph for sharing, but I heard Joseph meet Willard in the back this morning, and he said, "Sorry, my hands are cold." And he said, and then Willard was, "Well, are you having devotions?" Or no, he said, "Maybe it's because I'm nervous." And Willard said, "Well, are you having devotions?" "No, I'm having children's class." And so, and for me, my wife normally has cold hands, except on the Sunday that I'm to preach, she has to warm my hands up because they're cold. And it's because of fear. What happens in us, the way I understand our anatomy, is that whenever we get fearful, our blood starts gathering around your heart and it leaves your extremities in preparation for some trauma to happen. So in case there's something traumatic happens, the blood is in there by your heart where it's a little more secure. And, but God has not given us the spirit of fear, but we're still human, aren't we? And, we go through those kinds of things. So I'll be talking about that verse some, not my focus is not that verse. My focus today, or the title for the sermon, is "Caring for God's Gift in Us or in You." Did you know that there are as many gifts here this morning as there are people? Now you might think, "Well, I don't have a gift. When God made me, He didn't give me a gift." Well, I'm here to tell you that He did give you a gift. And He wants you to care for it. But why don't we just pause for a moment to pray, and then we want to read Second Timothy chapter 1. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, our great and mighty God. We worship you, Lord, when we think about how that you gave gifts to men. And how that you put within us the gift of eternal life as Christians. And how that you want to use us to demonstrate your power and your glory. And I pray that we with together creation would make your name great. That we would be able to function in the capacities that you have given to us. Because worthy is your name. All the glory belongs to you, our Father, our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer. I pray that today would be a day where we would be touched by your Spirit. I pray, Lord, you would search out those that are believing the lies, that you don't care about them. I pray that you will take this time and use it for your glory and for your praise. We worship you. We invite your presence here, Holy Spirit. And we pray that you will bring new life to places where there's deadness. And that you would confound the darkness. And that you would confound the works of Satan, even in our lives as Christians. We desire to reflect and to carry your glory in us, your tabernacle. You are the one that delights in us. We are your prized possession. And we thank you for that privilege. We worship you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, you'd give me strength to share and just to be a vessel in your hands for your kingdom, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, you can pray for me that God can use me in a way that he wants to, that I would be able to stay out of the way. It's one of the things that the Lord is working on me the last while, especially in preaching. And as I've told you many times, there's times in my life and even up till now that it's important to me what kind of preacher I am. And I'm allowing God to strip that away from me. And it has to be replaced with something. And he's slowly replacing that with an awareness and some kind of, I think anyway, some kind of work in me that it's about him. It's not about me. It's not about James Pate. It's not about how I preach. But it is how he can use me to make his name great. And that's what it means to be a Christian. You know, we have many explanations of what maybe we do, of what we think that Christianity is. But Christianity, in simple words, is you become the prized possession of God for him to use to bring glory to his name. You become a nothing so that God can be everything. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Notice the heart throb of Paul. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. And this is the verse that we want to focus on today. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift that is in thee. Was Timothy the only one that had a gift? By the putting on of my hands, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. These two verses are very much connected. There was a reason why Paul spoke verse 7 immediately following verse 6. So just roll that around in your mind for preparation to receive that truth. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and of his prisoner, of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Isn't that wonderful? Hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. I have to just tell you this while I'm thinking of it. Paul understood his calling, didn't he? He understood clearly that he was called to preach the gospel, specifically to the Gentiles. God had specifically and directly and personally called Paul to this specific work, and he was referring back on this as he was encouraging Timothy to walk in his calling that God had placed on his life through the laying on of Paul's hands and the presbytery, as it tells us some other place. So whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and this is one of the reasons Paul was so focused, because he had a clear calling on his life and he understood that calling and he was able to focus in confidence and walk in confidence because he knew what God had called him to. Very important for Christians today, for soldiers to know what their calling is in the battle. If you don't know what you're supposed to do, are you going to get anything done? If you get up on a Saturday morning like I do sometimes, and I have this list that starts from the ceiling to the floor, and you're like, I don't know what I should do. And so you spend some time doing, maybe doing this, maybe doing that, and not really getting anything done. But if you say, I'm going to do these five things today, you're going to get something done because you've made up your mind, you understand where you're going, and you'll probably get every one of those done. But if you're wandering around wondering what you should do, I have so much to do, I don't know what I should do, you're not going to get anything done. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Notice the confidence that Paul had. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. Again, referring back to the gift that he was talking about. That good thing that is in thee, keep that by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia, notice what Paul is saying. Let's just stop for a moment. All of the ministry, and I didn't study this, so I'm just speaking kind of off the top of my head here and taking this at face value, but all of the ministry that I did in Asia, Paul said, they all turned away from me. Paul knew heartbreak. He knew the trials. He knew the struggles and strains of Christian service. But I am persuaded, he said, that God is able to keep that which I've committed. This thou knowest, that they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Now, if Paul would have had a Facebook page and he would have done like some of us do, he would have ranted and raved about all the rejection that he was receiving from Asia. And he just very graciously spoke of these men. I have a hunch. I don't want to say that it was this way. But these men that he was talking about, the Lord have mercy on these, were probably men that were resisting Paul. And they might have been discrediting Paul amongst the people in Asia. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But Paul was saying, the Lord have mercy on him in that day. And you see the heartthrob of Paul. Just a little side note there. Okay, well, we obviously won't be able to talk about everything in this chapter today. And I don't know if we'll ever talk about this chapter again. But today, we're going to try to focus on verse 6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Somebody tell me, what was that gift that Timothy had that was given by Paul, by Paul laying his hands on Timothy, and also the laying on of the hands of the administration at some point? We don't have very many details. But what was the gift? Somebody tell us. Teach the word of God. Is there a specific verse that tells us what the gift was? Faith? I think those were all things that Timothy had, but I noticed it was love. Thank you, Calvin. I noticed that it was pretty, really, there was no specific explanation what this gift was. But Paul said, stir it up. Timothy knew apparently what it was. He knew the charge that he received. And probably, if I were to guess, I would say it was the charge of church leadership and administration. Because Paul told Timothy at some place, ordain elders. He told Timothy to exhort, to teach, to admonish, and to watch over the flock. And so Timothy, I believe, his calling, his gift that Paul wanted him to work on and preserve and care for was probably, in simple words, church leadership or church elder responsibilities and that type of thing. Yes, Brother Mark. Governments. Thank you. Yes. Yes, I would say you're right. Church government, church administration. Do you think, just kind of rambling here, but do you think from reading through this passage, if you were observant and if you've read and you were with us on the previous sermons, do you think Timothy had trouble with fear? Like I do. Do you think he was like, he would get up in front of people and he would tremble in his shoes or whatever he was, sandals or whatever he was wearing? Do you think he had any problem with fear? Paul said, you better take a little wine for your stomach's sake. Maybe he had a nervous stomach, or, you know, maybe he worried a lot, like some of us do. I don't know. It's a very good chance that was the case. Okay, so the focus for today is verse 6. The outline for the sermon is the meaning of the gift and recognizing the gifts, hindrances, or neglecting the gifts. And this is, I think, the heartthrob of Paul as he was speaking to Timothy. He was concerned that Timothy does not neglect the gift that is in thee. So we want to look at some of this. Let's see here. I got too many things. I want to put a few slides up here today. And I don't know why the color, maybe it'll warm up there in a minute. The color doesn't look very good, but God's gift to me. So when the Holy Spirit came, he gave gifts unto men. When Jesus went through the death on the cross into the grave and took captivity captives, what does it tell us? And he gave gifts unto men. Now, I was tempted to go, this passage, I was tempted to go with the gift of the Holy Spirit, but I don't really think that's what Paul was saying here, because he said, keep that gift by the power of the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about something different than the Holy Spirit, which is also a gift given to us. So, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And I'm not going to talk a lot about putting on of hands, but there is, apparently, there is a transmission of blessing and power that can be given from elders or someone that's anointed by the Holy Spirit to another person by laying on of the hands. Paul was very specific here about that. So we want to learn a little bit about that today. Not so much laying on of hands, but to recognize one of the things that I want you to be prepared to do here in a little bit. I want to go through some of the gifts, and then I would like to give you opportunity. If you don't say nothing, I'm not going to make you, but I'm at least going to give you opportunity to get a microphone and say, so sound guys, if you could have those ready, get a microphone and say, I see this gift in brother or sister so-and-so, and I would just like to recognize it, and I would like to pray a blessing upon that gift. This is a way that we can encourage each other. What is church life if there's no encouragement, right? We need encouragement. Here's your opportunity. So I could go up and down these benches and recognize many giftings that I see. I might do a few of them, but I'm not going to do all of them. And so I want to put that in your back of your mind to prepare for it. Okay, let's go through some of this. See what's next here. Okay, the Greek definition of gift. And does anybody know, out of curiosity, what the Greek word for gift is in this passage? I was kind of surprised, to be honest with you. But it is this word. You like this word? You like the charismatics? Well, we're called to be charismatics, believe it or not. I'm sorry, the word charismatic carries a negative connotation in so many places. But God gives his children charisma. Amen? Yes. Maybe that's a new thought, but I love the thought. And the charismatics aren't so far off as we thought, maybe. Because while some of it is self-generated and could be generated by the flesh, I'm not here to judge that. But charisma is somebody that has passion. They're excited about what they believe. And I would propose to you that we should be a little more charismatic. We don't have too much trouble outside of these walls to be charismatic, but a lot of times when we come into the church, a lot of the charisma leaves. Why is it? And you've heard me say this many times, and I'm still puzzled. Why is it? Is it a spiritual stronghold? Is it fear? What is it? I don't know, but let's become charismatics. And you might want to throw me out after a statement like that, and probably somebody's listening and they're, well, I knew he was crazy, now I know for sure. Well, I'm just telling you, when God gave gifts, he gave charisma, right? He gave, that's what that word means, and we'll go into it a little bit more yet. It's a divine gratuity, deliverance from danger or passion, especially spiritual. It's endowment, religious qualification. This would fit it into some of the what we're reading about Timothy. When you lay on those hands and you pronounce that blessing, you call out that gift, and that anointing comes on that person because somebody laid their hands on that person and pronounced a blessing over them, prayed over them, became a channel for the Holy Spirit to flow through into that person. That is, I believe, what Paul was talking about. Miraculous faculty. Do you have miraculous faculties? Or are you all logic and reason? The Holy Spirit can't work because you're tied up in logic and reason. Now, I believe we'll talk about a sound mind later. That's coming. So the Holy Spirit likes sound minds. In fact, he gives people sound minds. But you understand what I'm saying? There is a supernatural dimension of this charisma that when the Holy Spirit comes into a person, it reveals itself. And that's what Paul is talking about when he talks about the power. It's not by eloquence, but it's by the power of the Spirit. And God help me to know more of that power myself. I'll be honest with you. I'm speaking some of these things wishing that I would have more experience. I would like to have a better handle on what all of this means. But do I wait to preach it till I understand it fully? I don't think so. I think God can minister to us together. And, some people think that preachers are supposed to have it all figured out. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not one of those. I'm not one of those that has it all figured out. And the longer life time goes on, the less we have it figured out, it seems. Anyways, we're talking about charisma. So, charisma, according to the English definition, is compelling attractiveness or charm that can inspire devotion in others. I want to be careful here. I don't want to say things that embarrass people, but if you know anything about human behavior, you know that I'll just go to our table last night. We had Dave and Janelle were there, and Marcus and Marilyn, my wife and I. And for whatever, I said, it's gonna rain. Everybody was just like talking and, laughing like everything. And it was unusual. Somewhere along the line, that thing got started. I'm not sure who started it, but charisma is contagious. And maybe it has to do with our trip coming up. We're planning to go to Colorado this next week for a family vacation. So maybe that's what it is. Everybody's excited about taking this trip. But compelling attractiveness or charm that can inspire devotion in others. That's charisma, part of what charisma is. It's also a divine, I found this interesting, this was I think the Webster's Online Dictionary, a divinely conferred power or talent. Something that is divinely conferred or transmitted power or talent. And I think this fits right into what Paul was writing to Timothy about. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, that was given you by the laying on of the hands. There was a gift that Timothy supernaturally received. Part of the process was the laying on of hands. but in divine power. Okay, God gives charisma to his children. Are we charismatic? I'll let you answer that, and maybe you don't like that word, but I would challenge you to just go to your Greek dictionary and look it up. It's a scriptural term. It's a scriptural definition. And I'm not going to go into much qualification, except that is simply what the word means. So maybe we should change our church sign, Christian Light Fellowship Charismatic. We would really raise some eyebrows, wouldn't we? But I'm giving this to you in the sense of there's a Holy Spirit power that manifests itself in his possessions, which is us. The Holy Spirit is life-giving. He's powerful. And so I'm going to probably wear myself out over the next years trying to get this across to the churches, wherever I have opportunity. There's many, many ways that we, you know, people say there's many ways that lead to God, but there is one way that leads to true Christianity, and that is when the Holy Spirit infuses us with his power. When he takes possession of me, then I change. There's no other way. There's no other way. And so my prayer goes like this sometimes. Lord, possess me with your presence. I'm your property. We talk about demonic possession at times. Let's allow the Lord to possess us. It's great to be possessed by him. We are his prized possession. And he will produce the charisma that is needed in our lives. I think what probably happens with a lot of people, they see this and they like, yeah, that's right. And then we go about producing charisma, and it doesn't work because it's not the power of the Holy Spirit. So we must start with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's about the Holy Spirit. We're not necessarily going to talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. However, the gift that is in you, that God has specifically given you, he has given you a talent, must be coupled with the power of the Holy Spirit in order for it to become effective in the kingdom work. So it's very important. That's a very important concept to understand. Let's go through these two passages. I have two passages here, Romans 12, 6 through 8. And then I think it's 1 Corinthians 12 and a few verses there. Romans 12, 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether, say it together, prophecy, let us, Christian Light Fellowship, prophecy according to the proportion of faith. So is there a gift of prophecy here? Prophesy. That's why you have the gift. Don't squash it. And we'll go through the meanings of some of these a little bit later. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry. Oh, our breath goes out and we relax when we see that word. That is a very Mennonite word. We understand ministry, no, but prophecy, our hackles start to rise. Is that true for you? It shouldn't be. It's right in the same verse. Whoops. It's right in the same verse. Ministry, prophecy. And you'll be surprised probably what prophecy actually means, according to the Greek. Ministry, let us wait on ministering. Or he that teacheth. No threat there, right? On teaching. He that exhorteth. On exhortation. We're pretty good at that. On he that giveth. Let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. Not too much threat there. We don't like the ruleth part very well, but in the giveth, no problem. He that showeth mercy. We love mercy. And we have gifts of mercy here. And we appreciate mercy very much. So great. The only one we have a little bit of a discomfort with is this one, this prophecy one. Okay, we're going to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 11. Let's notice the ones that we're uncomfortable here. Or maybe we're not. Hopefully we're not. But 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, the manifestation of the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, capital letters, is given to every man to what? Profit. Remember what I started out with? We are called to bring profit to the kingdom. This is not about self-exaltation. It's not about self. It's about bringing profit to the kingdom. For to one is given by the Spirit, what? The word of wisdom. That's pretty good. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Wisdom, knowledge, we don't really have any problems with those, do we? To another, faith. Yeah, we got faith. We appreciate faith by the same Spirit. To another, say it with me, the gifts of healing. Does that make you a little nervous or a little uncomfortable? Gifts of healing. Maybe that shouldn't be in there. But it's the manifestation of the Spirit, gifts of healing by the same Holy Spirit. Let's continue reading. To another, the working of miracles. Are you comfortable with that? Oh, yes. We see miracles at Christian Light. We see miracles in the surrounding community. We're filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit is working miracles through us. Those were the words that Paul used, and the apostles in the early church. They had miracles happening. Supernatural manifestation, supernatural working of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. That's why the Church of Jesus Christ is so boring today to many people, because these are missing, working of miracles. We barely know what they are, do we? We barely know what we're asking. What are the gifts of healing? Working of miracles, prophecy. We have a little, and I'm not scolding you by all means. I'm right with you. But at some point, I want to pray with you, and hopefully you're with me. And we will pray and tell God, look, we're sorry, God, where we have not been manifesting these miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Would you please come and teach us how? That's my heart. I don't know what your heart is, but that is my heart. God wants us to be vessels that He can use to manifest His power supernaturally. I'm not used to this pointer. There is no doctrinal, theological category for that one, is there? The people that talk about, and I love doctrine and theology, but you don't generally hear that one. Doesn't come up much in that context. Working of miracles is outside of those categories. It's something that is, you can't explain from a theological or very well or from a doctrinal standpoint. It's something that God does. It's extraordinary. It's out of the ordinary. And God made it so that He can get the attention of the people out there, not so much us that have faith, but when you walk the streets of Bedford, when you go to Lowe's, when you go out at the gas station, like Brother Mark shared, and the Holy Spirit moves on you and says, look, here's an opportunity for you to pray for this person, to talk to this person, but we have the spirit of fear, right? So many times the work of God doesn't go forward because we are tied up in the spirit of fear. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. There's a lot more. The other list is a little more, the other list in Romans is a little more easier for us, you know. But this one here has a lot of spiritual aspects to it, a lot of charisma. Discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these worketh that one himself, same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Do you see the importance of this part? As he will, as the Holy Spirit will, as Jesus wants to build his church. Don't get the idea that you can go out and you can just give people, by the laying on of your hands, you can give them gifts. It takes place in the context as he will. So that means we must have a close connection with the Holy Spirit. We must hear His voice. And that's why Jesus' testimony was, I do always the will of my Father. It's because He, through the Holy Spirit, knew what the will of the Father was. Okay, let's go through the list of gifts that we just read in the verses. List of gifts mentioned, divinely conferred. The first one we have, prophecy, making predictions, scriptural or other. Generally, when we talk about prophecy, we talk about maybe preaching and this is probably, I believe it's all part of it, but giving the, you know, scriptures, but predictions. Do you think the Holy Spirit wants to use us to make predictions? What do you think? We have one that thinks so. What do you think? What do the rest of you think? And we have examples of these things. That's the thing. I mean, if we wouldn't have any examples in the scriptures, then I would have nothing to stand on. But Agabus, remember him? I think it was him. Wasn't it? Was it him that said, there's going to be a drought? How did he know? He didn't go to some passage of scripture and say, thus saith the scriptures, this is going to happen. No, he spoke outside of the scriptural premise. He spoke under the inspiration of the Spirit. I'm sure you're pretty uncomfortable, but that's just the way it is. I can't help it. It's the way God made it. Prophecy, making predictions, scriptural or other. Ministry, attending to or serving. That's what ministry is. When your ministers minister, not just your ministers, but when we minister as Christians, we attend to, we serve, and we become servants. I don't know if I'm going to get through today. Teaching, instructor, doctrinal learning. Those are all kind of encompassed in that. Exhortation, implore, comfort, consolation, and entreaty. Now, I would propose to you that we may have a little bit of a skewed version of exhortation. Often we think exhortation is a preacher that stands up here and yells and tells us how wrong we are and shape up or ship out type of thing. Exhortation from this premise is imploring, comfort, consolation, and entreaty. And you see Paul's example to Timothy here. Paul wasn't scolding Timothy because of his fear or his nervous stomach or whatever else. He was saying, come on, Timothy, don't neglect the gift that is in you. You see the love that is dripping out of his words. Tears were involved in the first part of the passage here. I remember your tears and how greatly I desire to see you. And there was a relational connection that was just dripping with love. And we can learn from some of that, I think. I can. List of gifts. Giving, simply sharing and imparting. Giving your money away, giving your possessions away, giving your time away, giving, impartation, just giving, giving. That's Christianity. Ruling is being over or be responsible for. Hopefully you have good examples of that here. Sorry if you don't. Mercy is compassionate by divine grace. And you see the mercy that flows out of some people, it's put there by divine grace. People that can just absorb all of the dirt that comes their way. They just absorb it and keep mercy, mercy, mercy flows out. Constantly being gracious and merciful. We have that amongst us. Thank God for that. A word of wisdom, the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Word of knowledge, understanding of a subject. Those are all things that are necessary in the kingdom and that the Holy Spirit uses. Faith is persuasion and conviction. We're talking about gifts of healing, cures, healing, make whole. And I stopped here a little bit because while you have heard me, probably, maybe you're tired of it, and at least it feels to me like I bring this gift of healing up quite often. I am not sure if the path to cure is necessarily always supernatural. And I thought of the doctor amongst us, doctors and nurses amongst us that are working with God's creation to bring healing into people's lives. So I would propose that it can be either or. I don't know about the drug thing. I'm not sure about some of that. I'm not sure where to put all of that. There's drugs, there's synthetic drugs, and there's natural drugs. And so I'm not sure what to say, but I do think that, again, like I think I just said it here recently, our first stop should be and knocking on the Holy Spirit's door. If you have a problem that needs help, knock on his door, because maybe he wants to give you a supernatural healing, and there's nothing better than that. There's no doctor that can supersede that kind of healing. Working of miracles. There is force. There's a power. It's a mighty, wonderful, miraculous power. Remember the testimony of Jesus? He couldn't do many mighty works there because of what? Their unbelief. Jesus seems to us at least constantly doing mighty, wonderful, miraculous works. What power did Jesus have? Somebody tell us. What? Pardon me? All power. Let's have it described in another way. What power did he have? The Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit. I think Jesus had it in full measure, and I think we have a measure of the Holy Spirit. But it was the same power, right? So we Christians, yeah, I have the Holy Spirit. Do you have power in your life? You cannot have the Holy Spirit without power. He is power. He's a living, moving, breathing power that flows through this fleshly body when he's living here. So when the Holy Spirit is present, there is miraculous power, mighty and wonderful. Discerning of spirits, judicial estimation of spirits. Sometimes we meet someone or something and we're like, what is this? So we back up and we say, what is this? And we look at it and we watch it and we become judicial in our estimation. We gather evidence. This situation, this person is manifesting this kind of behavior, so there's something, you know, going on there, and we make estimations. That's discerning of spirits. There's many spirits in the world. There's the Holy Spirit, but then there's many spirits. There's good spirits, ministering spirits, but there's many evil spirits, and there's many good spirits, and we're called, and there's gifts among the body that are discerning of spirits. Very, very important gift, especially when deception is rampant. Different kinds of tongues or languages. I'm not going to go into this one much. There's many opinions concerning tongues, the gift of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And if you study the passages, which I've done, not for a while, but you can come out in different places with this. All I'm saying is, I believe the scriptures. I believe there's different kinds of tongues and there's interpretations of tongues. And Paul was talking to the Corinthians, I think it was in this context. Every one of you has a psalm and so on in a tongue. And he said, if anybody speaks in tongues, let him interpret. Well, that's also part of the gift. So if you have a situation where somebody's speaking in tongues, if it is the Holy Spirit, then there will be an interpretation, I believe, because interpretation is part of the gift that encompasses that gift. But again, I'm speaking not out of experience. I'm speaking out of inexperience because I've never spoken in tongues that I'm aware of, except "Kannst du Deutsch" or "Komm es da." You know, I can identify with those a little bit. But so, anyways, God, help us to experience all that he paid for. And if that means some kind of a supernatural manifestation of a tongue that glorifies God, so be it. There's nothing to be afraid of that if it's the Holy Spirit. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of him. He doesn't do well in tabernacles that are filled with fear. He cannot manifest his power when we're full of fear. Interpretations of tongues or languages. That is the actual Greek, I believe. Okay, an honest evaluation. Are there any of these missing from our congregation? Can we just be honest? And I think I probably spoke for you, but let's just take a moment to reflect on the list of gifts that we went through. Are there any that are missing, would you say, from this congregation? First, let's just have that one answered. Are there any missing? Yes or no? One head shaking yes. How many of you think, yeah, there's a couple missing? Be honest. If you're not raising your hand, then I don't know if you're honest or not, but whatever. Maybe you think we have them all. And praise God if we do, but I haven't seen them all yet. Maybe you have one that you're hiding. And if you are, please come out of the closet. We don't like that term too well today, but it works, doesn't it? If you're hiding in the closet, come out of the closet with the gift of the Holy Spirit that God has given you. So we have prophecy, ministry. So there was a good many hands for your information that we are missing some. What are they? I'll go through the list real quick. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, mercy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Tell me what they are. We're missing some. What are they? Don't be bashful. We're having an honest evaluation, right? Come on. Working of miracles. Yes, thank you for that. What else? I don't see your hand. Just prophecy in form of prediction. Don't see much of that. You are right. What else? Gift of tongues. See, we had working of miracles. Why can't I see that? There it is. And gift of tongues and prophecy. Okay, here we go. I was just going to note. Any others that you thought of? Do you think somehow God chose not to give Christian Light Fellowship these gifts? Or isn't there enough of people here for that gift? Or what do you think is wrong if we're missing some? You about ready to throw me out? I have nothing to lose. Yes, Mark. I think it's given just like that. Can we go back there to that passage? See if we can find it here. Oh, what the explanation was. I'm sorry. Okay. Giving, ruling, mercy, word of wisdom. And then there was a word of knowledge, understanding of a subject. That's one definition. I mean, it could be different ones, but. So, what are we missing? We have miracles. Did anybody say gifts of healing? Prophecy. And what else? Any others? We have those three. Would you like to have all of the Holy Spirit and his giftings in this congregation? Now, you're not going to, I'm sorry to tell you, but you're not going to get all of them. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. That's one of the things that I love about the body of Christ. And it requires us to have unity, right? That's why, that's not the right way to say it. God set the body up so that we must have unity of diversity so that his glory can be manifested. That's why I have such a problem if someone cannot submit themselves to the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ is made up of many members and requires many members to adequately display the glory of God. One person cannot adequately display the glory of God. And even the churches, of course, cannot. But they can manifest much more glory when they unite together under one common cause, and that is to make God's name great through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how I can say it any better. And if somebody can say it any better or give me correction, I stand to be corrected. Okay, good. I appreciate your honesty, and I'll give one more opportunity if there's someone that is seeing something that we don't have here. Let's go back through here to the honest evaluation. Here we go. Are there any missing from our congregation? Are there some that we fear? That could be the reason why they're missing, is because we're afraid of this gift. We're not sure about it. And I understand the fear, because a lot of it comes probably partly because of reactionary teaching, first of all, against these kinds of things by conservative groups. If you notice, most conservative groups don't have those manifestations either. Some of it, you know, maybe the healing, the anointing of oil, we're okay with, because it's a very clear scriptural passage, and we would never do anything outside of scripture, but we are unwilling to go beyond some of that. And again, I realize, you know, maybe these statements have to be qualified. Everything has to line up with scripture, but God gave the Bible as a principle to work from. So the Bible is a book of principles meant to display a broader display of His glory, if that makes sense to you. Are there some that we fear? Okay, we have three. Any others? I would invite you to stand and pray with me. And maybe this is a good place to stop, I'm not sure, but let's do this. Let's pray a prayer of confession and invite the presence and the power and the gifting of the Holy Spirit to come into these areas where we are lacking. Okay? I think I have a prayer here maybe that we can pray together. So let's do it unitedly and audibly, okay? And you can look up here and just read this prayer and put in the blank there what comes to your mind and your heart as we pray. And I'm just going to open this prayer time first. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We just want to be honest before you with who we are. We have nothing to hide. We have nothing to protect. We have nothing to build. You are the builder of your church. You are the one that has given gifts to men. You have said in your scriptures that it's the working of miracles. It's the power of the Spirit. It's the word of knowledge, the word of prophecy, and the gifts of healing. While we confess we don't know very much of these, we would invite you to show us and to teach us. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you are the great builder of your church. We confess the sin of fearing the gift of miraculous healing, miraculous miracle workings, and what else? Prophecy. We ask you to come and give us these gifts we are lacking. We believe your promises are for us here at Christian Light Fellowship. Thank you for your delight in us and making us your prized possession. We look forward to how you will answer this prayer, and we pray in the mighty and glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So I don't know what was going on inside of you. I don't have to know. God knows. He sees your resistance to it. He sees your questions. And it's okay. He loves you more than ever. He's just dripping with love and compassion to build us into a masterpiece for His prized possession. I'm going to do this right now, I think. Let's see what we have next here. We're basically out of time. I don't want to go over time, and we can only take so much at a time. We'll come back to this maybe at our next service. But maybe just as a closing opportunity, if you want to take a few minutes to recognize the gifts in some brother or sister here, we can do that. And I'd also like for you to take when we prayed that prayer, Lord, thank you that I am your prized possession. How many of you had within you a voice saying, that's not true? That's not true. Jonathan? Anyone else? I am the prized possession of the Almighty. That's not true. Here's your opportunity. Here's your opportunity to be honest. I can probably safely, by conjecture, and probably a little more than conjecture, say that there are more of you like that here. Because just this morning, when I was out on top of the hill praying to God and going through this, that thing is within me also. I'm your prized possession. No, you're not. We are his prized possession. He came for us. That's why he came to this world. He wanted us. So may God give his revelation. And you cannot walk in the giftings and the power of the Spirit to your full potential if you're not secure in his love for you. You don't have to do anything with it here today, but this is your opportunity to recognize it and take it to the cross. I believe this is one of the biggest strongholds, probably across the board. I'm not sure if it's worse in conservative circles or not, but this is what's holding us captive because we can't believe that God loves us. Lord, help us. May he revive that love in our hearts for him. Maybe it takes conversion. You know, maybe we need to be converted again. Another work of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as far as I'm concerned, God is more than welcome to do that in my own life and in our lives as a congregation. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. One of the teen challenge guys that was at our house, he has this cliche that he says, and I don't know, did he say it ever the best way when we were having pizza? He said, religion, and he was all fired up. He had charisma. I mean, he just went on and on, talking about the coming of the Lord and different things. He said, religion is ritual. Relationship is reality. Relationship is what we want. We don't want the rituals. They're dead. They don't transform us. But a relationship with a Father that loves us will transform us. And when God gave gifts, when he gave gifts to men, he gave you a personal gift because you are his prized possession. And when those voices come up and say, no, that's not true, that is the voice of the devil or a voice of a demon, or it could also be a wrong thought process that you have cultivated and cultivated over the years and it became a part of who you are. Those things must be torn down. Those things must be destroyed in our lives so that the power of the Holy Spirit can flow forth. That's the part we're called to. God, again, has no problem putting his life in us, but to get it out of us is his lifelong work in each of our lives. So, I'm at your mercy. I'm your servant, but I'm going to give you opportunity to, if you have anything you want to say, you want to ask for prayer for you personally, I'll give you that opportunity. If you want to give a blessing to someone that you see this gift is in their life and is manifesting itself, if the Lord has given you a word of knowledge, that, and I think this is what happened, just if we can just go back to Timothy just briefly, I think this is what happened to Timothy. Timothy had given his life to the Lord at some point. He was a follower of Jesus Christ. He was a young man and he had people around him that saw and were watching Timothy. And they said, here's a man that has potential. Here's a man that has talent. And Paul and whoever else the others were went around Timothy. They put their hands on him and they said, Timothy, God has called you to this work. And he wants you to step out. And Timothy was likely, no, I'm not qualified. No, I don't feel, I feel inadequate. Some of that is okay, but it can't be, we cannot give in to those things, because when God calls us to a work, he gives us power. We have the Holy Spirit within us to overcome that fear, and so on. So anyways, I will try to shut up and give you opportunity to say something. If you don't have anything, we'll have closing. So raise your hand if you have something you want to say. Brother Paul.
I identify with James. I'm a mortal man, and some of these things are a little bit scary for us because of who we are. And if you see things in my life that I do that are maybe a little questionable, something, just mark it down for, yeah, he's a mortal man. But I want to take that a step further. Hebrews 8:11. I just recommend everybody study that verse and before and after. But I'd just like to just read that one verse. This is where the power comes from. Is, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if he dwells in us, then it says, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, if you see gifts coming out, it's not my gift. The glory goes to God. You mean that? That's awesome. Why can we be so, we're just so many times scared to say something because, well, I'm a nobody. Well, that's all right. I don't mind being a mortal man. But that Spirit that he put in us will manifest itself somehow to God's glory.
I appreciate the service today, the devotions, the children's class, and the message. And I thought much about already about the gifts of the Spirit and maybe why we don't see them manifested today as we see in the early church. And maybe it is because of we're afraid of them because of somewhat what we see. But I thought of this already. Jesus was the body. In him was manifested all the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
This should help us maybe to take some of that fear away, because in him was manifested, says here, the word of wisdom. We know he had the word of wisdom. He had the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Because when he met that woman at the well, it was only after, by the word of knowledge, that he told her some things in her life that she said. First she thought he was just, you know, a Jew, then a prophet. Then after that, it rose to Messiah. But that came through that. And faith, we know he had the gift of healing. I don't have to go over all of these, but, you know, they were all in the body, the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now today, they're not in one individual person, but I still believe they are in the body, in his body across in the earth.
Yes.
Here on planet Earth. Yes. And maybe they're not all represented in one local body,
true,
but
true.
I would say that would probably be, I would feel that would be God's heart. Yes. And you said about feeling like we're God's prized possession. I know it up here that I am,
yes.
But I, to be honest, honest evaluation, I don't always feel that way.
Yes.
And that probably comes with maybe performance-oriented thinking.
That's right.
You know, when you just, some days you don't have the best days. Mm-hmm. You know, you just don't think, feel like you're God's prized possession. So,
yes.
Just to be honest, you know, but yeah. I desire that, you know, and I know it's true because that's what motivated Christ to come and give his life for us and die for us. Yes. So I thank him for that.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your honesty, Mark. And I think you're exactly right. The whole idea of us having to perform to deserve God's love is it's a generational stronghold. I think I can use those terms. And God wants to deliver us from it. And through that deliverance, we will find freedom. I came across it here recently. I can't quite remember where it was, a video maybe. But this person was talking about God, and the Bible tells us this. God is love, right? He's dimensions of love that we cannot fathom. So, and he chose to love us while we were his enemies. So that should tell us something. And so we think we have to perform to deserve his love. Well, we can't deserve his love. You cannot do enough or not do to deserve his love. Now, I'm not taking away from obedience, but obedience flows out of that love then. And that's why if somebody, oh, I have to do this Christian life, don't even bother. Because you don't have the right Christianity. The right Christianity was, Lord, how can I serve you? Paul. Okay. I'll try not to say more. Anybody else? Thank you for your attention, and God bless all of you that have that voice inside of you. It would really be interesting to know statistically amongst this group of people how many of us have that lying voice that comes up when God tells us we are his prized possession. I will joy over you with singing. How many of us have that voice that says, that's not you? And the first step to tearing that down is to say, okay, God, that I do have that voice, and you have said these words, and I'm going to choose to believe him. It'll take you a while to reprogram your mind, probably, but it's for you. You are his prized possession. I am his prized possession. And let's walk in that. Let's get that place of being secure in the love of God established in our lives. And then we're ready to walk. We're ready to move forward in these, especially in these manifestations of the gifts. Okay, any announcements? Fellowship meal here afterwards. Everyone's invited to stay. And especially our visitors, we invite you to eat and talk with us. Anything else? Wednesday night, prison letter answering. Is that it? Stand for closing prayer. Lord, we want to humble ourselves before you and not walk in self-rejection as so many times we tend to do, but rejoice in that you have purchased us and made us your possession, your prized possession, and that you have delight in your church. Help us to delight in you, Lord. May our delight be in you. And I pray that you would take these words and use them for your glory and for your praise. And Lord, I want to receive any correction, perspective correction, or words that I may have said that are not according to your heart. Thank you that we can rest in you. You have made us. You have purchased us. Take us and fill us. Fill your tabernacles with your glory here today. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come and consume any darkness and bring to life any deadness. And give revelation of any sin and darkness, even amongst us, for the purpose of redemption. You are a redeemer, Savior, redeemer. We bless you and thank you and praise you. And may our hearts rise in gratitude and thanksgiving for all that you have done and that you've promised that you will do. We want to say thank you for food today. Would you especially bless every hand that has prepared it? May our time this afternoon be a time of blessing and encouragement and experiencing more of your presence. We give ourselves to you in spirit, soul, and body. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.